thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, where we're hearing stories about what folks are up to this winter around our state with our guest, Mike Beno. Mike is editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. He's going to talk about a devoted trailhead volunteer, about Wisconsin's Spice King, and a skating club, and a whole lot more. And as we talk with Mike, I hope you'll join in. What do you think of Our Wisconsin magazine? Maybe you have enjoyed reading the last issue. Maybe you've got a suggestion for Mike about something that could be covered. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Mike, always good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me back. It's always fun to get together with you and chat with some of your listeners and talk about all that's great in the greatest state there is.
Got a great cover photo this time around. Well, they're always good, but this is a shot of the Northern Lights. Maybe tell us about the photographer, Rob Resnick, and how he worked hard to capture that image. It's a beauty.
Well, we were glad to get this these issues to you directly from the printer, by the way, Larry. You saw this before we even did in our office. They just arrived this morning about an hour ago. So, I have some idea what you're talking about. So Rob Resnick is one of 40-odd photo suppliers, professional photographers from around the state who submit photos to us for consideration in the magazine. They give us the color that makes us look good. And so the image you're talking about, I've been waiting to see for, about 10 months. Rob is from Oshkosh, and our office is up here in Manitowish Waters. About a half hour from the border up around Ironwood Hurley. And Rob came through one March morning early, and he was heading back to Oshkosh, and he pops in the office. What are you doing way up here? Who let you out? You know, and he told us about his trek to chase the Northern Lights. Now, Rob was using an app on his phone called Aurora Pro, and he spotted over Europe some very active solar activity, Northern Lights, and he knew they were coming to this area pretty quick. He asks his boss off of work, and she graciously says okay. He gets a hotel room lined up in Hurley, jumps in the vehicle with all his stuff, and drives straight up to Saxon Harbor on the southern shore of Lake Superior. Gets there in the afternoon, a little bit of sunlight left. He looks around. Where is he going to set up to shoot in the dark? He chooses some ice shoves up against this concrete break wall, 30 feet in the air. I don't know why he had to go up there with his tripod, but that's what he did. Returned back with his ice creepers, got up there, and started shooting over Lake Superior, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. And Rob was rewarded. He got up there and started shooting, and he said between about 8:30 in the evening, he shot this one, I think, probably around then, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and 2 a.m. he's out there, 15 degrees, in the dark, on the ice, on the shore of Lake Superior. And he popped his shutter probably, he said, hundreds of times. Had to have a little bit of long exposure going, but not too long, because there are navigational beacons at the mouth of that harbor, green, red, flashing on and off. So he had to time his shooting to be in between the navigational lights going on there. Anyway, he came up with a very good result, and it was hard choosing photos. We could have put that one of these on our three-page panographic in the middle of the magazine. It's a fold-out. We could have put it splashed across page 2-3 where you open it, but it deserved a cover, and also it allowed me on one turn of a page enough real estate to write that story and share it. And I think what it does is it shows the lengths some of these photographers will go to chase that perfect shot. And we're so fortunate and grateful to have that kind of work in this magazine.
Yeah, there are a lot of great issues. And by the way, we're talking about the February-March issue of the magazine that most people probably haven't seen yet.
But that's true. Larry, that's just how special you are to us. Yeah, they'll be landing in subscribers' mailboxes this week, we figure.
Mike Bino, our guest, give a call with your own comments, questions. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, Milton House in Rock County, I'm embarrassed to say I have never visited the Milton House in Rock County. And and there are some beautiful new mosaics there that you show very well in photos. But tell about the woman behind those mosaics and their creative process.
Well, thanks, Larry. I'm very glad you mentioned this story, because not only does it highlight some interesting and very intricate artwork people can go and see, there's some very strong history here, and it's a powerful story, too. Because this artist, Connie Beer, she's a retired art teacher from the Milton School District, and also her friend worked together with her, Vicki Cottom of Janesville. They're both retired art teachers. So the Milton House Museum in Milton is an old inn. And it was built in the 1800s, and they have a property there which is got the old inn where you can go in and see some local history. On the grounds there is a cabin, an authentic log cabin. It's tied to it. It's quite literally tied to it, because underground there is a tunnel with some masonry that runs from the inn to that cabin. And this, it was built in 1844. Milton House is the only certified underground railroad site in Wisconsin that's open to the public and you can tour. And the tunnel was an escape route from the inn out to the cabin and into the woods in case somebody had to run. And there was at least one freedom seeker who did that back during the days of slaves making their way to the north. So Vicki and Connie made a 9,000-piece mosaic that's in the Milton House Museum. It's one of a couple they've done there, and also there's some paintings there tied to it that's talking about, that's illustrating this story of the fugitive slaves making their way north to Wisconsin, and ultimately many of them went to Canada. And what they're showing here in their mosaic, again, 9,000 pieces, some of them, they make their own, with tools, they make their own pieces to fit. Some of them are from Spain, pieces from Spain, some were plates that they've dined off of in their homes, just the right color. The story they're telling is a story of a fugitive slave that's tied to a very powerful piece of music called Follow the Drinking Gourd, a slave folk song, the Drinking Gourd being the Big Dipper. Follow that constellation north. And the song dates to 1910 when a folklorist found it. It was first published in 1928, Follow the Drinking Gourd, telling the slaves to find Peg Leg Joe at the ferry to get him across the river. And it was done by the Weavers in 1951. It was done by Pete Seeger, poet Rod McEwen, early on. For my money, take your pencils and write this down. The best, most powerful performance of that song is by blues man Eric Bibb. And if you Google him up, there is a solo performance him and his guitar alone playing this. It's a haunting song, and it brings forth the power of this story. And you can go to the Milton House and see this, and it's just one more facet of Wisconsin that I think is not only entertaining but quite important.
Yeah, and I tell you, it really inspired me, just the whole business of the history of the place and then the beautiful artwork, ceramic artwork. Fantastic.
Yeah, that we've got the visual going there, and you can find that song pretty easy. It's a wonderful story.
Maybe Trina can find it. We'll take a look. Tyrone in Milwaukee, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Tyrone.
Good morning, Larry, my friend. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Milwaukee. Good morning, Mike or Mark? Is it Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Mike, yes. Thank you for that knowledge and that information. That the Milton House, I'll have to do what I can to get a drive up there and check some of that out up there. So thank you for that. That's very much appreciated.
You bet, Tyrone.
Yeah, thank you.
The magazine, I do get a chance to get my hands on a couple of copies of it there up throughout the year. Not as much as I would like, but still, it's a nice magazine. Keep that coming to us, please. Thank you. I'm aching inside still yet a little bit behind Saturday's performance there, so I just wanted to say it goes for both of you. You too, Larry. Get somebody in. I remember the Dandy Vine show, and I think maybe Forrest Gregg even had one for a while there. Gilbert Brown there, the Dave Gravedigger had a show there. But I know the Packers are owned by the fans there. Why isn't there more input and where the fans can and the shareholders can get in and say, well, you know, this is what we'd like to see the team morph into a little bit more? I mean, they did good. They did should have won that game. But I think even being on the bench there behind Favre and Rodgers all that many years there, even at the age of 65, I haven't played in a long time. I wouldn't have made that throw.
Tyrone, thank you so much. Well, you know, I understand how Tyrone feels. He probably feels like a whole lot of people in Wisconsin. And as I think about the magazine, over the years, you have probably done a story or two about the Packers.
We've done, well, in this particular issue, we have a sort of a tangential story. But to the Packers, you know, We don't put a whole lot of that in the magazine because that's probably the most covered theme in the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, with good reason. I grew up in Green Bay, and I was just yesterday I went out and took a little walk up here in Vilas County. And, you know, it was about 16 degrees, but we had some ripping wind off the lakes. But it still wasn't as cold is the morning of the ice bowl, and I live four blocks from church, and I was probably 11 years old, and my father and uncles were going to that game, and they weren't going to take me because they didn't want a kid. So, and I get it. I walked to church, Resurrection Church, which is Vince Lombardi's church, and then I walked home, okay? No hat, no gloves, walking backwards. You know, what an idiot. And that's what I remember. And the only other part of that was the games were blacked out in those days, even if they were sold out. And my grandpa Jack, who worked at Northwest Engineering, was waiting there with his car warming up his red Dodge Polara, and he took me bowling at the Golden Bowl with nobody in town. I'm eating a candy bar, and they were giving away tickets if people promise to go to the game. So I know a little about the Packers, Tyrone. I feel your pain. But you know what? The team's on the upswing. They got young players, and everyone's looking forward to next year.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, our guest today on the show. Jack in Madison, let's go to you. Jack, hi.
Hi, Larry. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wanted to echo Tyrone's compliments and praise of the show. You know, I feel very similarly. It's an awesome platform. It's great, you know, to talk about our state any way we can. I was just thinking, you know, unfortunately, I'm not an avid reader of Our Wisconsin myself yet. I'd like to read more, but I'm curious what insight you're getting into, like how much we're talking about the adoption of renewables in Wisconsin, especially wind, solar, EV charging stations, and all that infrastructure, you know, especially as we move forward into the current millennium and just where all that's going.
Ah. Solar technology, we're seeing a lot of solar installations in my homestead where I grew up. The home where I grew up, right across the street, was a farm, and now that farm is not handling corn, it's handling solar units.
Solar, wind, that's getting into the realm of science. That's very important. It's getting into the realm of science and straight information, and Wisconsin Natural Resources magazine handles a lot of the science there. This is a general interest magazine, so we maybe scratched the surface of some stories like that. More in-depth coverage, I mean, journalism at length, long-form journalism, is more the purview of that. I will say this, our Amish baker, who bakes the pies we give to people who chime in with contribute stories, they use a solar array to power their bakery, their commercial bakery, and their homes. So we've given away about 2,000 pecan pies from the Amish Diarists in our magazine over the last dozen years, and those are being baked by solar power.
There you go. And those pies are really good. Really, really good.
I got the hint, Larry. We'll get you back on the list.
Oh, man. Mike Vino, our guest, who is the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, having some fun talking with him. Questions, comments, maybe you've got an idea to share, give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert's our producer, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.
When the sun comes back and the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd, for the old man is a-waiting for to carry you to freedom if you follow the drinking gourd.
Oh, Trina LaSousa found a version of the drinking gourd, which is relates to the Milton House story that we talked about earlier, Mike.
You have some great folks working with you, Larry. You are fortunate. Right on it. Yeah, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear that.
Yeah, thanks, Trina. Thank you so much. Jenny in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jenny.
Morning, Larry and Mike. The timing is so good. I actually just stumbled across my first issue of Our Wisconsin yesterday and thought, huh, what's in this? I'll take a look. I ended up sitting down and just reading it cover to cover. I enjoyed it so much. And I think what I liked is the variety from history to what's the cool new thing, like that giant snowman that someone built. It kind of reminded me of a cross between Reader's Digest and Birds and Blooms, when people send in their little quips and their pictures of what's going on in their area. And I even ended up sharing a few things, one of which is the treasure hunt that you're doing. My sister lives in one of the counties where it could still be where potentially the prize is. So anyway, just wanted to say thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, I pulled out the centerfold, which is the deer by the river. Absolutely stunning.
Oh, Jenny.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny, for calling. Well, you're going to want to get the latest issue now, too. Mike, nice comment.
I didn't pay off Jenny to call in that comment. I mean, it's so wonderful to hear from readers like Jenny who discover this. And she drew some parallels. She was talking about Reader's Digest, and she was talking about Birds and Blooms magazine. I can show you the original concept memo of Birds and Blooms magazine from 1992. So this magazine that we're doing here is done in the format of the old Ryman Publications magazines, Birds and Blooms being one of them, that were published in Greendale for many years, mostly agricultural magazines. And Jenny's talking about the December-January issue. We've got the three-page fold-out in there with some deer. And, it's humbling to hear comments like that. We're so thankful that this magazine seems to touch some people. And we'll keep doing it as long as good folks like Jenny are out there to appreciate it and join the celebration of Wisconsin here in our pages.
Jenny, you're going to have to get a copy of the February-March issue because that contest that you mentioned is down to two counties, one of them Door County, and I've forgotten the other one.
Juneau, Door and Juneau. And that's exciting to us here. We've run these contests where we hide a key in a park somewhere in the state and give clues and challenge readers to find this. The payoff is pretty big. We've given away a couple of new cars, a couple of boats. We've got a teardrop trailer, camper, worth $6,000 that's on the line here. And we start with 72 counties in the state. That's all there are. And issue by issue, we eliminate 10 counties, give another clue. And the idea is it's supposed to be a little mystery that's unfolding. We've never seen it get down to just two counties. that's what's making it fun for the readers. Maybe I've learned to get a little more stingy with my clues. Most of the time, it's found within 8 months or something. So we're heading on a year, and folks, get out there. There's not bad weather right now. You can get out there and find that key, and maybe you got a nice brand new camper. They're built in Wausau by our friends the Mowers at TC Teardrops.
Yeah, they're a pretty cool camper. I wouldn't mind winning that myself, but I probably shouldn't apply or try.
Everybody, hey, no purchase necessary. Anybody can do it, and there's a rabid subculture of people who love those teardrop campers. You can trick them out with roof racks and generators and bike racks, and a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Jenny, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Well, there are so many great stories. I hardly know where to start. I Washera County, because Jerry Apps is an old friend of mine, and he's from Washera County, great writer. You have a neat story about the Wild Rose Skating Club in this issue. So why did the town gather around the ice?
Wild Rose Skating Club. So, I'll talk a little bit about Jerry Apps, and I don't know if you know his brother Daryl. But
yeah.
We'll talk about him in a little bit. Wild Rose Skating Club. So back in the the ice capades come to rural Wisconsin. We got a story from a reader named Jim Patterson from Oshkosh. It's not all that far from Wild Rose. He grew up in Wild Rose in the 1940s, and he sent in some photos and a story in letter form. He had just handwritten story about his memories of growing up in Wild Rose, and there was a mill pond there, and they made it into a skating rink, and the kids got out there and boots and whatever they had. Some had skates that didn't fit, probably boys wearing girl skates, however they could, they got out there. And some of the town, you know, old clamp-on skates and things. And some of the town fathers saw this interest. Guy with the local lumber yard, about 1947, Ernie Knoke, I believe, volunteered the use of some of his land. They made a rink. The town got involved, community endeavor. The village firefighters kept it watered, and they would shovel it off in Washera County road grader once in a while. And if it wasn't shoveled off, Ernie'd walk into the bowling alley, and he would rally all the guys in there saying, look, if you come out and shovel for these kids, I'll buy you the beer later. So he'd empty out the taverns and the bowling alleys to skate. Now, this wasn't ragtag. It all of a sudden grew. They got a warming shack. They had a sawdust floor in there. Then they hired professional skaters from Milwaukee. And this was figure skating. Professional skaters from Milwaukee to come up and coach these kids on how to cut a figure eight, how to figure skate. And they would have an annual ice shows there. And it went on for about 4 or 5 years. They'd have ice shows. They had a chorus line there. They would make costumes. People would get involved that way. Hundreds of people were standing on the snowbank, snowbanks outdoors, watching this professional ice show going on, the Wild Rose Skating Club. And it went on through 1953, and, you know, with the advent of television, I suppose people like to stay indoors and be warm. But this was a kind of coming together of the community that was really cool. And there's so many examples of that when people write in. And this is part of what I think is the magic of the magazine. You don't have to be a pro writer to share a story. You just write a letter in, and if it's unusual, as this one is, stands a good chance of going in. And, it's one of the stories. And, Larry, I hope somewhere along we may have some time to talk about Spice King Jim Ford, because Tyrone was talking about the Packers before. Sorry to shift here.
No, we can do that. In fact, we could do it right now. Do you want to talk about the Spice King?
I will, but before we leave Washera County, in our next issue, we have a beautiful color story about Daryl Apps, who's hybridized hundreds, maybe thousands, of daylilies in his professional career as a horticulturist and working at universities. So we're going to have his top 10 beautiful daylilies in the next issue, and he grew up there in Wild Rose.
There you go.
Okay.
With Jerry Apps.
Okay. Well, have you ever heard of Jim Ford, Spice King?
You know, I may have. The name seemed familiar, but I didn't know why.
Well, he was a storyteller par excellence, and what's we're all about telling stories here, and the best storytellers are the ones who you got to put just a little bit of windage on the story. You know that some of it may be slightly exaggerated, but it's entertaining. Spice King Jim Ford, for those who grew up in the Fox River Valley, northeast Wisconsin, he had on Channel 11 on television the Durkee's Backyard Barbecue, where he'd spin stories. He was a salesman for Durkee's Spices, going back to upstate New York, dating to the 1800s. Big company, big concern. And he was said to be the top salesman in the nation, okay? He'd buy time on television, and he'd cook and spin stories about Iran and the Middle East and Africa and where these spices came from. I don't know if he is correct, but he would do that, and then he'd have Durkee's mailbag on the radio, and he'd have a packer with him, like Tony Canadeo or whoever, and they would answer questions. He was the Spice King, he was the Olive King, and the Sports Authority. And he'd go around town leaning on people in supermarkets to get on the end caps of all the, and what he would do is he'd pay them off with tickets to the Packer Hall of Fame dinner held at Riverside Ballroom. He'd buy 125 tickets, there's maybe 500 sold, and to this day some of his customers still attend that dinner. But the best part was the story. He was just a big bombastic man. He claimed to have been in Barcelona talking one day, and he heard somebody in the men's room in the stall say, "Is that the Spice King?" Because he was so well known. And I still see here in Minocqua, they have an annual event called Beef-O-Rama, where they make beef roast, and they have the rump roast run. Jim Ford, Spice King Jim Ford, was the judge many years, and every year in the Lakeland Times, they trot out the pictures of Jim Ford with his with his friends, judging the bleeding roast beefs. Just a colorful character, and it's fun to have stuff like that in the magazine.
It is indeed. Nancy in Grafton has something for us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. When I was a little kid, you know, we lived on a 160-acre farm, and the buildings were in the middle of the farm. So we didn't have any electricity or anything, and I think I was 3 years old, and I thought, what is that thing over our table? Holy mackerel, there's lights there, and we got electricity. And that was pretty neat, you know, because the rest of it was because we were so far off of the highway, off of the road. That's why we didn't have electricity until so much later. And then it was winter time, and our road, our driveway, a long driveway, didn't get plowed out, you know. And so my dad went and took the stone boat, which he cleaned out the barn in the afternoon with. He went and he put all new straw in the stone boat, and he put a horse blanket in there, and he hooked up the team, the horses, and 2 miles over the snowbanks, we went to school, to our country school, and, well, there was three of us in my class, two boys and me, and I thought, wow, those are good old times, you know, that you remember all those years, but it was interesting.
Yes, it is indeed, Nancy. Thanks a lot for calling. A comment there, Mike?
That's exactly the kind of story we see. People are talking now about connectivity and can we get broadband. There's still quite a number of people who remember when electricity came and remember what it was like to live without electricity. And some of those stories show up in the magazine. And Nancy, you got a couple, write them up for us because we're here to share stories like that.
Great story. Well, and the electricity reminded me of another story that you had in this latest issue, which is about ice. Before there was electricity in a lot of places, people needed ice for their refrigerators were called ice boxes.
Ice boxes, and my grandmother used to call her refrigerator a frigidaire, and I never knew why she called it. Well, that was the only type of refrigerator for a good long time after ice boxes. We got a story in from Roger Lorenz, who grew up in Tomahawk, and on the shores of Half Moon Lake up there, and he describes his family making ice. Okay, they took a big gas-powered rotary saw and skids, and they would cut giant blocks of ice. They'd have 7 to 10 men out there. They'd cut the ice 20 feet by 40 feet. They'd saw them into smaller cakes and then float them with pike poles to the shore where they had a little conveyor that took it up and loaded these cakes of ice into the ice house with sawdust packed around them for insulation. That ice would hold into the hottest part of the year, into August, and the ice man would come around, and they would deliver cakes of ice, 5-10-pounders, to people's homes on the route, and they would put that ice in the ice box, kind of a metal container usually with wood on the outside, and that would be how they stored food. People would put cards in the window that told the ice man how much he should take to them, sling it over his back with a pair of tongs on a piece of leather on his shoulder, and that's how food was kept cold for a long, long time. The ice harvests was kept the guys busy half the year. The delivery went on the other half of the year, and that's how food was kept, how people kept kept it cold. And eventually, after electricity came, there came the refrigerators, and the ice business finally got converted over to Holland fuel oil or something like that. Times change.
They do indeed. But it's a great story with some nice photos. Speaking of photos, you have, here's one that you probably won't recognize, but you've got a section called Vintage Views. And I love the old photos there, but there's one of Frank's Tavern on South Water Street in Fort Atkinson. And if you look at that picture, there's a gentleman at the bar who looks just like W.C. Fields, the old actor.
Well, straw boater, I'm looking at that right now. It's black and white, so I don't know if that's a gin blossom as a nose, pictures like this, the coolest part about them is when you can see all the little details, like a hammered tin ceiling, or even looks like walls in there that are done that way. Old advertising and things like that. I can almost smell that place based on what I'm seeing there. And these are pictures all shared by our readers.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, and there are so many stories that we haven't talked about here. I kind of like the new feature you've got then and now that people can get involved in.
Yeah, so people then and now, what people do is every once in a while these came in, and we thought, well, why not show them? So what we've got is a picture going back to the 50s, something like that, maybe 57, and there's some siblings, three brothers and a sister, and they're standing there as children holding hands on the family farm. They're dressed up kind of nice around Easter time, at least the young lady is. And they got together, these siblings, 50, 60 years later, I think, and got together and decided they would pose in the same way, exactly the same way, in the same spot as they did 60 years before, before and after, then and now. So we've got a black and white picture of them, and it's kind of interesting to see how people age and change and how they've stayed together as a family. That's wonderful.
It is indeed. Mike, how do people get our Wisconsin magazine?
Okay, thanks, Larry. You can give us a call, toll-free, give us a call at 877-717-8925.
877-717-8925.
Correct.
All right. And, of course, available. I've seen it in grocery stores and other places as well.
It's around at some spots, and we also have a website, ourwisconsinmag.com.
ourwisconsinmag.com. Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really enjoyed this issue, and hopefully we'll have you back for another issue.
Thanks so much, Larry, and thanks for putting up with my long answers. I get rolling, and we get laughing, and it's fun. It's always fun.
It's always fun for me. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Thanks, Larry.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. It's a great issue. We didn't talk about some of the wonderful photography in it. This issue, it's really, really nice. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at quitting smoking. I did that a long time ago, and I got a lot of help from Dr. Mike Fiore, and he's back to talk about it and what we're doing now versus 30 years ago when I went through the process. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.